Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. I recently posted a short episode talking about what was happening with the Turkish lira, and I asked everybody to give me feedback as to whether or not you wanted to see more shorts or whether you wanted only long. And it was a really interesting response, and around about 50% of you said that you really liked the shorter version, and therefore I'm going to produce more of these. They're quick, bite-sized versions of what I normally do. It's not the deep dive. This isn't a permanent change. This is an addition on top of what I normally present. So don't get concerned if you prefer the longer ones. But I want to provide quick updates on things that are happening in the markets that I think are useful and relevant for everybody, but also to test whether or not you want more information. And this video today is about our old friend Evergrande. If you've been following the channel for a long period of time, you'll know that in the early days, I did a lot of videos on Evergrande and the Chinese property market. Because back in 2021, before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, this was the biggest single risk to the global economy. We thought that the property developers in China were going to bring down the whole world. But it looks more likely that that's now going to be Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But it's still out there. There are still major problems in the Chinese markets. And today, news has been leaked of the potential restructuring of Evergrande's overseas bonds. So I wanted to post this video to talk about that. So just as a quick recap, if you haven't been following the channel for more than 5 or 6 months, then you may not be aware of what Evergrande is and what their situation is. And Evergrande is a giant property development company. This business has been building whole cities in China. It has been building on a massive scale. And in order to do that, over the last 10 years or so, it has built up a huge amount of debt. In fact, it is the most indebted company in the whole of the world. It has over $300 billion worth of debt on its balance sheet. And Evergrande hit problems around 18 months ago when the Chinese authorities decided to change the rules and they brought in what they called the three red lines, which were three tests to make sure that property developers were not overextending themselves and getting into financial difficulty. And Evergrande failed all three of those tests immediately. And since that point, it's been very difficult for the company because they haven't been able to access the amount of debt that they had historically. And the whole business was based upon taking on more and more debt to enable it to build more and more cities and make more and more sales. So as soon as the debt was switched off, it got into a whole world of pain. Now, most of Evergrande's debt is actually held within China by the Chinese banks. But around $22 billion worth has been issued in the form of international bonds. And the bondholders have been very concerned about what's going on, not just with Evergrande, but also with the Chinese property market, because we've seen a massive fall in confidence and sales in China. Up until 2021, the Chinese property market looked like a no-brainer. It just kept going up and up and up. However, as soon as these new rules were introduced, we saw a number of the big property developers getting into difficulty, defaulting on their debt, and that meant that they couldn't complete the build of a lot of the apartments. And in China, people often pay deposits of anything between 50 and 100% on apartments. So we had situations where people had paid large amounts of money for an apartment that wasn't built, and the property developer was now in default and didn't have enough money to be able to finish those apartments. So that led to a loss of confidence, and we've seen the market come off significantly recently. So in order to address these issues, back at the end of 2021, Evergrande set up what was called the Risk Management Committee. And this was basically a group of people who were focused on the debt situation and how they were going to get themselves out of it. And the majority of the people who were installed onto that risk management committee were actually members of the Chinese government. So essentially, Evergrande is now being controlled by the Chinese authorities. Officially, it's still a private company, but unofficially, it's now being told what to do. The bondholders have been waiting for a concrete proposal to be put forward by the risk management committee for the last 5 months. And unofficially, news of what this deal looks like has now been leaked. And not surprisingly, the proposal that's being worked upon is to replace all of the existing $22 billion worth of debt with new debt. And this new debt will be in the form of bonds that will be repaid over a 7 to 10 year period. So essentially, Evergrande is asking for another 10 years to be able to pay all of the money back. But in addition to the repayment, there's also a debt equity swap that's being proposed. So it's reported that around 20% of the existing debt exposure will be available to swap for equity in two companies that Evergrande owns that are both listed on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. The first is its Hong Kong property development business, so that company is focused on developments outside of mainland China. And the second is Evergrande's electric vehicle company. Now, the interesting thing about this proposed debt equity swap is that both of these Hong Kong companies are currently suspended from the Hong Kong Stock Exchange because of uncertainty over their trading and profitability and viability. So essentially, you're going from one very uncertain situation into another very uncertain equity situation. So there's a really big question mark as to whether or not that will be attractive to investors, because you're essentially swapping one very high risk situation for another very high risk situation. The initial feedback to the news of this restructuring has been fairly lukewarm. The bondholders, who are predominantly distressed debt funds at this stage because a lot of the original holders have sold out of their positions, are not excited by the repayment proposal. They don't really want to wait for another 10 years to be repaid. And also, there's a massive question mark as to where Evergrande are going to get the cash from to be able to pay down $22 billion worth of debt. Because in 2021, they saw their top line sales fall by 39%. So we've got a contracting market. And let's not forget, Evergrande still has a massive debt burden and it has to pay interest on that debt. So it's got huge fixed costs and falling sales, which is not a good combination when you're looking to get major repayments on your debt. So it's really not clear as to whether or not Evergrande will be able to actually make the repayments. So potentially the debt equity swap looks like a better option. However, that is taking a huge gamble on both of those entities. So in terms of a very quick summary and conclusion on today's events, I think this is really just an extension of what we've been seeing from Evergrande for the last 12 months or so. They've really been kicking the can down the road, spinning things out for investors, delaying everything, giving themselves more time. They're hoping that the market is going to bounce back in China, but it just hasn't done that. It hasn't made any signs of major recovery. And with all of the COVID lockdowns that are still going on in China, it's really hampering the growth of the economy. And it's likely that the Chinese economy will be in slowdown compared to where it's been pre-COVID. So it's not likely that the Chinese property market is going to come roaring back anytime soon. And fundamentally, Evergrande is a broken business model because the whole thing was structured upon taking on more and more debt. And as soon as that debt was switched off, it killed Evergrande overnight because they were building new apartment blocks and using new deposits from sales to fund further growth. And the problem with that model is that you're always reliant upon those future sales. And as soon as there's a slowdown in the market, or as soon as you stop being able to access more debt, then that will just kill that business overnight. And that's essentially what's happened. So what we've got here is a situation where the bondholders know that there's very little chance of getting their money back from Evergrande. They don't really have any other options. I did report on one situation where a US fund manager, Oaktree, did go in to seize some assets, but that's very rare. And the problem for the bondholders in Evergrande is that they don't have any security. So they don't actually have the right to go in and seize any assets anyway. So they're fully exposed, they're fully unsecured, and really they're at the mercy of whatever the management team and the risk management committee at Evergrande decide is the best way forward. So they don't really have much choice. And the bonds are currently trading at around 10 cents on the dollar. So that price tells you that this is a long shot. It's very unlikely that you'll get back even 10 cents on the dollar for this debt. So as I've discussed before, Evergrande has essentially been nationalized through the back door. There's no official nationalization, but the fact that the risk management committee is calling the shots and most of that committee are government officials means that it's now being run by the state. And this new proposal will stretch things out and allow Evergrande to carry on trading. And the main thing from the state's perspective is that they want to restore confidence in the Evergrande brand, because Evergrande has around 1.6 million customers who are still waiting for their apartments to be completed. So there's a lot of anxiety and stress from those individuals because they've handed over deposits and they can see that the buildings haven't been finished. So the government wants to restore calm. It wants everybody to remain happy and watch Evergrande build out those apartments over the next 2 or 3 years. That's their main focus. repaying international bondholders is one of the lowest things on the list of things to do from the government's perspective. So kicking the can down the road by putting another 10 years on the repayment structure means that on paper, everything is carrying on as normal. Evergrande is still trading. It will get itself out of its default situation if the bondholders agree to this. And quite frankly, the bondholders don't really have any choice, so they will agree to it at some point. So I wanted to post this video as I haven't done an Evergrande or Chinese property development video for quite a long time. And I wanted to see whether or not there's still any appetite for people to hear about this news. Obviously, the number of views that this video has will give me a strong indication as to whether or not there's any interest, because I'll be able to see it in the numbers. But I would like to hear from you as well. So if you would like to see more of this, then please drop me a comment below. If you like this shorter format, also please let me know, because I'm interested to know what the best possible format is for my videos going forward. So thanks a lot for watching this shorter video. Thanks for watching about Evergrande and the Chinese property market. And don't forget to give me a thumbs up and subscribe if you haven't done so already.